दुर्विमर्श पतया निज माययेदाम् सृष्ट्वा गुणान् विभजते तदनुप्रविष्टा तस्मै नमो दुरवबोध विहार तन्त्रा संसार चक्र गतये परमेश्वराय I offer my obeisances to him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates this universe by the inconceivable activity of his material energy, and then distributes the various modes of nature by entering within the creation. From him, the meaning whose pastimes is unfathomable, come both the entangling cycle of birth and death, and the process of deliverance from it. Purport. When all is said and done, Dhritarashtra was not an ordinary person, but an associate of the Supreme Lord Krishna. Certainly an ordinary person could not offer such a learned hymn to the Lord. Sri Shuka Uvacha. इत्याभि प्रेत्य निरपते अभिप्रायम से यादवा सुहृद भी समनुज्ञाता पुनार याद पुरीम अगात Shukadev Goswami said, having thus apprised himself of the king's attitude, Akrura, the descendant of Yadu, took permission from his well-wishing relatives and friends and returned to the capital of the Yadavas. Akrura reported to Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna how Dhritarashtra was behaving toward the Pandavas. Thus, O descendant of the Kurus, he fulfilled the purpose for which he had been sent. Thus end the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, on the 10th canto, 49th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Akrura's Mission in Hastinapur. Om Agyanti Midandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Vanshakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya evacha Patitanam bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo namo namaha Ajanulambita bhujo kanakathapato Sankirtanay kapitaro kamalayatakshyo Vishwambaro Dvijabaro Yugadharma Palo Bande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudhi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare I offer my obeisances to him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who creates this universe by the inconceivable activity of his material energy, and then distributes the various modes of nature by entering within the creation. From him, the meaning of whose pastimes is unfathomable, come both the entangling cycle of birth and death and the process of deliverance from it. As we were trying to explain yesterday. Dhritarashtra was not an ordinary human being. He was a special soul. The son of the great avatar Vedavyas, student of the great Mahajan Bhishma. Relative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Brother of the great Mahajan Vidura, who was none other than Yamaraj. Brother of Pandu, uncle of the noble Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, Sahadev, but somehow or other, by the inconceivable will of fate, he was also the father of Duryodhana. There is a saying that even a wonderful pot of finely cooked kheer, param anna, if there is a grain of sand in it, the whole thing is ruined. So similarly, although he was endowed with all fortunate surroundings, and therefore he was by nature to be a very virtuous person, somehow because of his attachment to Duryodhana, he was unfortunate. And all of his good qualities were obscured. When Duryodhana was born, it is described that instead of crying, he began to bray like an ass. And just after he was, this lump of flesh was born of Gandhari, you know the story, Kunti was impregnated by Dharmaraj on the request of her husband Pandu because of the curse he had received that he could not come together with his wife to have children. And at the same time, Gandhari, the beloved wife of Dhritarashtra, who was a most chaste and faithful lady, she was pregnant from Dhritarashtra. Gandhari was such a virtuous lady that when it was arranged by her father that she was to be married to a blind man, she was thinking that a wife should always be subordinate to serving her husband. She should never be proud and think that she has anything better than her husband. Otherwise, she will not be able to properly serve. And it is the lady's duty, according to religious principles, in order to please Krishna, to be the faithful and chaste servant of the husband. This is the Vedic system. So her husband could not see. She was such a chaste and such a virtuous woman that by her own desire, she decided to be blind for the rest of her life, so she would not have a characteristic that her husband did not have. So she took cloth and she wrapped it around her head, covering her eyes, so that she could never even see the light of the day. And because of this, Gandhari attained great power It is said that tapasya gives strength, gives shakti. Just as if one very carefully follows the system of brahmacharya, one becomes effulgent, and one is endowed by the Supreme Lord with great power. Similarly, for a woman who practices the tapasya of chastity, she gains great, great power. Gandhari was the ideal example of such chastity. Because she performed this tapasya, one day, Duryodhana approached his mother, and she said, "My dear son, tomorrow I will make every limb of your body infallible, indestructible. You come before me, but you must wear no clothes." So the next morning, Duryodhana was coming to his mother with no clothes. But who did he happen to see on the way? Krishna. Krishna Bhagavan ki! Krishna knows everything. And he said to Duryodhana, "I am your well-wisher. And I must mention to you that it is not proper for you to be roaming around without clothes on." He said, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to see my Mataji, Gandhari." "You cannot see your mother without clothes, even though she cannot see you because her eyes are covered. Still, it is not proper. You should at least wear a kopan." So Duryodhana was thinking, actually, Krishna, what he was saying is correct. So he put on a kopan, a loincloth around his waist, and he came before Gandhari and said, "Mataji, I am here." And what she did is she lifted the cloth that was covering her eyes, and she glanced upon every limb of his body, and whatever part of her body, of his body that she saw, became as hard as steel, indestructible and infallible. But then she came upon the loincloth. She said, "Why are you wearing this loincloth? I told you to come with no clothes." He said, "Krishna told me that it is not good manners to come without this." Then she realized that if Krishna wants to kill you, nothing can protect you, and if Krishna wants to protect you, nothing can kill you. Ultimately, the inconceivable will of the Lord prevails. She knew that that part of his body would be fallible. It will be vulnerable. And she began to pray, "Oh Krishna, you have spoiled everything. But what can we do? You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead." But this was the power of her chastity. Because she restrained her eyes for so many long years, her eyes had such power that anything they would glance upon would become indestructible. And you know, at the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, after the 100 sons of Gandhari were killed by Bhima, the Pandavas had one terrible fear. And what was that? Gandhari. Because she was so powerful that she could destroy all of them if she so desired. In fact, even Krishna appeared to be afraid of Gandhari. When Yudhisthira and his brothers and Lord Sri Krishna came before Gandhari, she was so upset, like any mother would be, that all her children were killed, that she glanced upon Yudhisthira's, what was it, his finger, huh? And she burned him so bad. Actually, she could have burned them all to ashes if she so desired. But by the will of Krishna, it was minimized to just a burn of his fingers. Anyways, the Pandavas, the mighty great heroes who were not afraid of Bhishma, not afraid of Drona, not afraid of Bhurishrava, not afraid of any of the great Maharathis, they were very much afraid of Gandhari because they knew the power of a chaste woman. So when Gandhari was pregnant with these children, somehow Kunti gave birth before her to Maharaj Yudhisthira. And Gandhari, knowing that the firstborn child would have prominence over the others, she struck her womb with her fist. And from that, there was a miscarriage, and a lump of flesh came out of her. And they called Vedavyas, who was the grandfather of this lump of flesh, and said, please do something. So he divided that lump of flesh into 100 pieces because it was prophesied that Dhritarashtra would have 100 sons. So in order to fulfill this prophecy, he cut it into 100 pieces, and by his great powers, 100 sons were born. But it was told to Dhritarashtra from the very beginning that you should do away with these children, especially the first one, Duryodhana, because he will be the cause of your own ruination and the destruction of your whole dynasty. But Dhritarashtra, he was so attached to his newborn child that he did not have the heart to follow this good advice. Anyways, we see what happens when there is too much excessive family attachment, not based on service to Krishna, but based on the skin disease that you are mine, that you are my flesh and my blood. Due to these physical entanglements, so much illusion can come about. Family life is meant that there should be attachment and affection based on responsibility. Responsibility to assist one another in devotional service. But simply attachment based on the physical connection between us without any reference to Krishna consciousness can be a cause of great unhappiness and sorrow. And this is what we find in the example of Dhritarashtra. But nevertheless, because Dhritarashtra had such noble association, he actually understood what was the goal of life, and he understood that Krishna was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And here he's offering such a wonderful prayer. First, Akrura explains to him that Dhritarashtra, O enhancer of the Kuru's glory, son of Vitrachavirya, your brother Pandu has passed away, and now you have assumed the throne. By religiously protecting the earth, delighting your subjects with your noble character, and treating your relatives equally, you will surely achieve success and glory. If you act otherwise, however, people will condemn you in this world and in the next life, and you will enter the darkest of hell. Remain equally disposed, therefore, toward the Pandu sons and your own. Our Guhura was not asking anything irrational. He was not even asking Dhritarashtra to be partial to the Pandavas. He was simply requesting, be equal to both of them. Because in one sense, they are all your sons. The father of the Pandus was killed when they were young little children. And you are his older brother. They treat you just like their own father. And it is your duty to treat them like your own sons. So be equal to them. In this world, no one has any permanent relationship with anyone else, O King. We cannot stay forever, even with our own body. What to speak of our wife, children, and the rest? Every creature is born alone and dies alone. And alone one experiences the just rewards of the good and evil deeds. In the guise of dear dependents, strangers steal the sinfully acquired wealth of a foolish man, just as the offspring of a fish drink up the water that sustains the fish. A fool indulges in the sin to maintain his life, wealth, and children and other relatives, for he thinks these things are mine. In the end, however, these very things all abandon him, leaving him frustrated. Abandoned by so-called dependents, ignorant of the actual goal of life, indifferent to his real duty and having failed to fulfill his purposes, the foolish soul enters the blindness of hell, taking his sinful reactions with him. Therefore, O King, looking upon this world as a dream, a magician's illusion, or a flight of fancy, please control your mind with intelligence and become equipoised and peaceful, my lord. Such genuine, compassionate advice given by his own loving well-wisher, Akrura. And Dhritarashtra appreciated that everything you are saying is true. Your words are the greatest charity being offered upon me. But despite all your good instructions, and despite my proper understanding, because I am prejudiced by the affection for my sons, I cannot keep your words in my heart. Like lightning appears in a cloud for some time and then disappears, your enlightening words are already disappearing from my heart because of my attachment. But here he's explaining that no one can defy the injunctions of the Lord. And the Lord has descended into the Yadu dynasty as Krishna. And I offer my obeisances to that Lord who creates this universe and whose activities are inconceivable. Through material energy, he has created the three modes. And his pastimes are unfathomable. And through his divine will, the entanglement of Maya and the deliverance from birth and death are coming forth. Dhritarashtra recognized Krishna to be the supreme God. And he knew that all entanglement is due to disobeying him, and liberation is simply due to obeying him. He knew this. Krishna personally acted as the messenger of Maharaj Yudhisthira. Krishna personally came to Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra and personally pleaded with them, give the Pandus justice. To the point where he said, even 5 villages, you can have the rest of the world which belongs to them, but give them 5 villages because they're Kshatriyas. It is their duty to rule over something. You cannot just keep them living in the forest like hermits. What was the reply? Not even enough. We will not give them enough territory to rule over that one can place the head of a pin into. Such greed, such envy. And they were speaking this to Krishna, who's the proprietor of everything that exists. What illusion! Krishna is Saravaloka Maheshwaram. He is the proprietor of all existence. He is the only owner, not only of our bodies, but of all the planets. And yet Dhritarashtra and Duryodhana were saying, Krishna was saying, you know I'm God. You know I'm the supreme truth. I've created everything. I'm maintaining everything. Ultimately, I'll destroy everything. Everything is mine. Nothing is yours. You can claim proprietorship over the whole world if you like, but give these 5 Pandavas 5 villages. Krishna's requesting. And right to Krishna's face, they're saying, no, we will not give them enough land to stick the pin into. The infatuation and the intoxication that comes through greed for wealth and power puts one in such illusion that the obvious truth standing before you, we cannot even recognize. Therefore, the great acharyas have said that the greatest obstacles on the path of self-realization is greed for wealth and distinction and sex life, the king of sense gratification. These two things, even great stalwarts become illusioned by too much association with. Bhogaishwaram prasaktanam tayapatita chetasam vyabashayatma kabudir samaro nabadiyate. And one who is infatuated, intoxicated by attachment to these two things, sense enjoyment and too much greed for wealth and power, his mind becomes bewildered, intoxicated by association with these things. And even when Krishna, the Supreme Lord, the worshipable God of your life, comes before you, you cannot surrender. Dhritarashtra, in this prayer, is revealing something very wonderful. That although he knew that he was a victim of circumstances, he somehow or other went along with Duryodhana. And now he was entangled in the whole network of complications that it created. He was already implicated in the sin of blaspheming the pontiffs, trying to murder them in so many ways, cheating them. So he's praying to Krishna now, please save me. I'm an illusion. I'm completely in Maya. I'm under the influence of this son of mine, and therefore I have become greedy for power and fame and wealth and control. But my Lord, I know that you are the ultimate cause of death. You are the cause of one going to hell. You are the cause of one becoming liberated. Everything is in your hands. And even though I'm doing everything wrong, I surrender to you in my heart of hearts, praying to you to kindly be merciful to me. So he was not an ordinary man. But still, we see what was the result. Everything he was trying to hold on to, he lost it all in the most miserable way. Even though he was blind by the power of Sanjaya, who was a disciple of Srila Vyasadeva, he was able to see the entire battle of Kurukshetra. Sanjaya could see it, and he was explaining everything step by step to Dhritarashtra. And Dhritarashtra could hear through his ears. He could see through his ears what was happening. And everything he offended Krishna and the Pandavas to protect, he saw gruesomely, violently destroyed. You see, Bhima, when he wanted to kill someone, he didn't do it in a very polite way. He was really a Kshatriya. When Duryodhana offended Draupadi along with Dushasana and tried to strip her naked and offended by showing the thigh, Bhima, who was a man of his word in that assembly, he became so angry, he made a vow that I am going to kill all of you. And Dushasana, I'm going to rip your heart out and drink your blood. Rio! We may think, how is a pure devotee thinking like this? Sometimes pure devotees think like this. He was a Kshatriya. It was his nature. It was his Swadharma to think like this, that justice must be had. Kshatriyas cannot tolerate injustice. It is their inbred nature to become outraged, to punish those who are inflicting pain upon innocent beings. And when Bhima was in the battlefield of Kurukshetra, what he did to the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra, Dhritarashtra had to see it all in his heart. He had to see them slaughtered. Actually, they were slaughtered mercifully, but by sensual perception, it was merciless. Bhima just tore them to pieces. He ripped Dushasana's chest open, took out his heart, and put the blood in his mouth. Rivo. And Duryodhana, he was smashed by the powerful mace of Bhima. The same mace that he could effortlessly strike powerful elements, I mean elephants, and crack their skulls and cause them to immediately die. Such power. With that mace of his, he would go into herds of elephant infantry. Soldiers were driving on elephants, powerful, not ordinary, male, big tusks, gigantic. And he would just, within minutes, with his mace, he would kill thousands of these elephants and the warriors who were powerful ratis on top of them. This is the strength of his mace. And when he was fighting with Duryodhana was trained by Balaram how to fight, so he was very expert. He was very graceful. He would fight with his mace, dancing like a beautiful actor. And Bhishma was not graceful like that. He would just... So anyways, Bhima was superior to him in strength. But Duryodhana was superior to him in training, which he received from Baladev. So they were fighting for some time, and neither one could defeat the other until Krishna told Bhima about that wonderful pastime when Duryodhana was coming to see Mataji. He said, I know that it is against the code of a Kshatriya to hit a man below the waist, but it's the only way to kill him. His spine below his waist is fallible. So Bhima knew that ultimately Krishna is the father of dharma and morality. Whatever he says is good. So while they were fighting the next day, Bhima swung at Duryodhana and he gracefully leaped into the air, knowing that according to the Kshatriya codes, he will come down and continue the fight. But as he was leaped high in the air, Bhima, with all of his Herculean strength, he smashed Bhima at the base of his spine, near his thigh. And Bhima just fell to the ground like a smashed serpent in complete agony and pain. He was just laying there, torturously suffering. And Balaram came. What is this nonsense? He's my disciple, and you cheated. He's on the verge of death, suffering terribly, and you hit him below the waist. Balaram was so angry that he was about to kill Bhima. And before Lord Balaram, Bhima was very humble. You cannot fight Balaramji. So many have tried, but no one can fight Balaram. He is Krishna. But if you surrender to Krishna, he protects you, even from Balaram. So Krishna said to Balaramji, listen, why all of a sudden we're talking about fair and square? Did this Duryodhana, was he fair when he loaded the dice of Shakuni and cheated the Pandavas from their whole capital and all of their wealth? Was that fair? And was this Duryodhana fair when he tried to kill the Pandavas while they were sleeping in the house in Varnataka? Was that fair? And was Duryodhana fair when he fed Bhima deadly poison to kill him in the name of a birthday cake? Huh? Was that fair? So you have to understand, Baladevji, that this is all my lila. He's getting what he deserves. So please continue your yatra. Because Balaram was on a yatra. He was not a part of the battle of Kurukshetra. So Krishna protected Bhima. But what I was saying is poor Dhritarashtra, he had to see his son laying there for days, suffering. He would not die for a long time. He just laid there suffering. If you disobey Krishna for your own selfish purposes, what will be the result? You will lose everything, and you will suffer terribly. Krishna says what tastes like nectar in the beginning tastes like poison in the end. And what tastes like poison in the beginning tastes like nectar in the end. Selfishness, sense gratification is nectar in the beginning. But just see what poison it was at the end. Yes, Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra, they were allowed to taste the nectar of ruling the whole world and having all the power and prestige and the wealth of the kings. It was nectar in the beginning, but was against the will of God. And therefore, it was the most bitter, terrible poison in the end. And the Pandavas, it tasted like poison in the beginning. They were just faithful to Krishna. They were always dedicated to following his instructions. And they lost everything in the beginning. So we should know, with great faith and conviction, that if we simply accept the will of Krishna, then we will be victorious. What is the last verse of Gita? Yatra Yogeshwara Krishna, Yatra Partha Dhanurdana. That wherever there is Krishna and Arjuna, there is certain to be victory, great opulence, immortality. Wherever we live in harmony with the teachings of Krishna and Arjuna, whenever we surrender to him, we should have complete confidence that everything will be all auspicious. However it may seem in the beginning is not important. We know with great faith that Krishna, he is the supreme controller. He will reward us for our devotion, and he will punish us for our deviations. Do not judge things by how they appear now, but you have to see through the eyes of Shastra. Dhritarashtra, he was thinking he would please his sons, but by going along with them, he was actually the cause of their pain and miserable death. Is there any questions? Hare Krishna, thank you very much.